Take your Bibles and turn with me to Romans 15. How many of you really get excited about Thanksgiving? How many of you get really, really excited about Christmas? How many really, really get excited about New Year's? How many used to get excited about New Year's Eve? And you may say, where am I going? You know, as excited as we get about, and I don't know, I'm not leaving out Christmas, but if I say holiday season, I'm not jumping on the holiday tree bandwagon, okay? When as many of us as get excited about Christmas and Thanksgiving and New Year's and all the other holidays, there are people who don't like them, and they're not always Grinches. There are people who've had and will have empty chairs this year around the table for the first time. There are people that don't have any friends and really don't have any family, and so they're alone. And so, I'm not preaching yet, but I'm just making a suggestion. If you're around here and you know somebody alone, invite them over. What a great way to show God's love, God's compassion, and be a blessing. And we need to just simply bless people. Because basically that's what Jesus did, didn't he, for 3.5 years. Just walked around blessing people. And so as we get ready for the season, and we're in the season, if you don't believe it, try getting in Target or Walmart or, man, I only ran over 3 people in the parking lot yesterday, but it's better than last year. But what a day. What a day. Risked my life for the church. I really did. I risked my life to buy a Christmas tree. I got in there and they were sold out. That's the story of my life. I called the suicide hotline. They put me on hold. praise God. We're going to do a little history this morning in the Bible with a purpose. We're not just throwing a bunch of scriptures at you to throw scriptures at you. But I want, as I read this in fact, as I read it last week, and I was going to preach on it last week, and I just couldn't get David out of my head. So, but as I read this and then read it again this week many times, and the Bible says this in verse 10. And again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Praise him, all you peoples. And again, Isaiah says, there shall be a root of Jesse. And he who shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him the Gentiles shall hope. And then he throws verse 13 in there. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. It was a very dark time in the nation of Israel. From Malachi to Israel was somewhere in the space of 400 to 500 years. There was no vocal voice of God being heard. But yet in Israel, people were looking for the Messiah. And before John the Baptist came on the scene, to shout about repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And I'm not him. I'm not worthy to untie his shoes, but there's one coming after me who is before me, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. All the things that were going on through John basically was prophesied in the book of Isaiah. Prepare the way of the Lord in Isaiah. And the root of Jesse, or the stem of Jesse, however your Bible translates it, was mentioned two or three times in the book of Isaiah hundreds of years before it would ever happen. And we all know the story about Jesse, how Samuel, after King Saul's failure and being dethroned, came to Jesse's house and started with the oldest boy and looked at the children and said, there must be one more. And Jesse says, my son David is in the field. And he says, go get him. And he brought him in, little lad tending sheep. And God spoke and said, God does not look on the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And through David and the tribe of Judah, begin to set the stage for the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ. Something hit me this morning, even before it, God just had this whole thing put together. If you'll notice a couple things in 10 and 11 of Romans, it says, rejoice and praise. Very interesting, isn't it? That God is calling us as Gentiles, the ones that were left out at the start, but he always had a plan to bring us in. It was always going to come, because if you read Isaiah 16, it talks about the Gentiles coming to the light, and you see all these verses referring to the Gentiles, that they were coming in. And now he says, rejoice. How many of you rejoice today? How many of you felt that joy of the Lord in your heart as you were praising? Yeah, sometimes we break. Sometimes we cry. Sometimes there's tears of joy, and sometimes there's tears of repentance, and sometimes there's all kinds of other tears. But this theme that God is telling us and this body is to rejoice and praise. I don't hear anything. Amen. To rejoice and to praise. You know, God has done so much for us, even as we go through things. And as we are focused, as we talk about hope in a few minutes, our whole life is not about covering our heads and hoping the sun doesn't fall. Our whole life is about rejoicing and praising. Thanking, living in this life, walking it out in the presence of God. And if we as Gentiles have nothing else to praise God for, it should be that we're included. Right. He reached down and said, Peter, go speak to the house of Cornelius. And if you've read, and I just got through the book of Acts and the book of Romans again, and if you read the disturbance that Peter caused by going and not only preaching to them, but eating with them, which wasn't proper according to their legal customs. But we're part of it. And how exciting that is to be accepted. Right. And what the blood of Jesus Christ can do. Verse number 12, he goes into, and we're going to spend a little time on the verse 11 and 12, 13. And Isaiah says, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, and in him the Gentiles shall hope. There comes a time in our lives when we have to remember. Don't stare at me, just take a glance at me, okay? That's for you, Diane. We have a thing going on Wednesday nights, and I told the people, don't you stare at me now. How many of you have ever been in desperate times? Compared to what, you know, is an obvious question, but in your mind it was desperate. Did you get through them? You remember about them? You remember that God helped you? You remember you came through victorious? Maybe a little weather beaten, but victorious. You see, God designed us and made us with emotions. But he didn't design us to have the emotions control us. He designed us that the spirit man, in touch with the Holy Spirit, would control our lives. But at times that gets, as Dad used to say, kittywampus. I don't know what that meant, but it must have been some terminology. Must be a good old German or Norwegian or something. And things got out of order, and we forgot about being controlled by the spiritual man, and we became controlled by how we feel. And our feelings became the reality. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And when feelings become our reality, the whole world is distorted. Your family's distorted, your life is distorted, and you're not living by truth, you're living by what you perceive as facts. And that is the most simplest way to lose hope that there is. Because when we are governed by what we feel or what we think, we forget how God got us through the last time. Somebody should say amen.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
And so we start making a transition. We start making that transition into God, who is our hope. And we start walking this out, because I'm going to tell you something. Satan just absolutely enjoys destroying you through your emotions. And we are emotional. If you're not emotional at anything, you're dead. Hello? We feel. We have compassion. We love. Now, I know none of you do this, but we also sometimes get angry, just me. And we walk this life out based on what we feel instead of the reality of what God says. And when we do that, we lose hope. The Bible says, in him the Gentiles will hope. In Christ.
Right.
And you know something? God loves you enough to let you know everything's okay. He's in control. It's going to work out. You know, when I get in trouble, when I try to fix it. You ever do that? No. We wouldn't try to do it ourselves, would we? We wouldn't try to do it without asking God for help. We wouldn't try to do it without asking God for wisdom. And so how does the devil respond to our hope in Christ? He wants to undermine it. I don't even know if I want to say this, but it just came. Somebody's here is living on the edge of something. And it's like you're just waiting for the next shoe to fall, the next hammer to hit you. God says, that's not how you live. You live for the next victory. You live for the next overcoming. You live for the next miracle. And you start viewing things in a different light. You start looking at things and circumstances and situations as not as a problem, but as an opportunity for God to work through it. And the last half of that is don't try to fix everything yourself. I've learned a long time ago, even though I don't always do it, is I can't control everything. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And there are people who just get frantic when they're out of control. Let God be in control. You don't have to have that panic attack. Come on. And I don't have any history about anything going on. I just have what God speaks in my soul. So don't come and say, somebody told. Somebody told Pastor. No. I don't have any history from yesterday or the day before or the day before. I have a great history teacher because he's already lived it. It's Jesus. I'm going to jump ahead of myself. As I sat at the table, I wrote some things down about hope this yesterday and this morning. Hope is not found in thinking things someday will change. Hope is found in the one, Jesus Christ, who is able to change people, circumstances, and situations. Time very seldom does much to help situations. God does a lot. Amen?
Amen?
Hope is not about how I feel or my feeling about a situation. Hope is that God, through his mercy and grace, will change and strengthen me so that through him I'm able to be an overcomer whether things change or not. Love the way you're shouting. Do you have the patience to trust God to change people? Or are you trying to do it yourself?
We go by what God tells us to do and how he wants it to be fixed.
Amen. Say with me, I
love
pastor fearing. Good. Now you're smiling. Hope is not that my empty feeling will go. Hope is that God will so fill me with his Holy Spirit that my emptiness is full. Take a glance this way. Understand something? Emptiness filled by anything but God is still emptiness. Amen?
Amen?
Emptiness that is filled with anything but God is still emptiness. You cannot get out there and have an affair or do something else or do something to fill your emptiness. It has to be filled by God. Hope is absolute confident trust and earnest expectation that God is not only able to fix my situation, but that he's more than willing to respond to my situation. Come on.
Amen.
And so when we are walking in this hope, I can throw away my anxiety pills. When we're walking in this hope, I can go through whatever is in front of me, knowing that nothing is going to sidetrack me, destroy me, throw me over the cliff or anything. I'm going through with Jesus because he's already there, and I'm going through because he is more than anything the enemy can do. Amen. So we walk it out. In him, we will and shall and do have hope.
That's right.
It's not in you changing the situation. It's not in the situation even being changed. It's in God, who knows exactly where you are, exactly what you're going through, exactly what you need. And God never sits up there and says, well, I think this time I'll try this. Maybe this will work. Come on.
Amen.
He doesn't do that. We went out to Peaver Flats this week, to house number 404. Ray and I. Supposed to have been some demons around. Supposed to keep the cops from even coming in. Supposed to break out windows and do all this stuff. Not a big deal with God. Not about me. The battle is the Lord's. Come on. Your battle is not yours, it's God's.
Yep.
The fight that you're fighting, stand, put on the armor of God and say, okay, God, have at the devil through me. And as you see the devil run, because the devil's not going to stand up to the Christ that's in you, and as you take the stand with the word of God and just look him in the eyes, what's he going to do? If I resist him, he'll what?
Flee.
We don't have no fleas in here. But he's going to flee.
Yep, he's going to go.
Look what God has it all planned out for us. You're worried what's going to happen here, and we worry about what's going to happen there, and what's going to happen at Christmas, and what's going to happen, and I can only have two or three helpings of turkey because I get so uptight. But God is saying, hey, wait a minute, time out. I'm here. And you know something? You can smile like Angie as the relatives come. You can rejoice. You can be excited. You can be happy. Because God's grace and mercy is more abundant than your discouragement. God's grace and mercy is more abundant than even your being upset or getting angry, or when the relatives aren't there on time and the turkey's getting overdone and you're just screaming, what's going on here? Where are my family? Offer them a burnt sacrifice. There's hope. There's hope in Christ in every avenue of your life. Verse 13 says, and it ties right in, they connect together. They connect together. He says, may now the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in believing. In believing God. In trusting him. In walking it out. Go with me to Psalm 77. As we start remembering, verse number 11, He says, I will remember the works of the Lord. How many have ever been saved? How big a miracle would that take? Yeah. Biggest one ever. I will remember your wonders of old, and I will also meditate on your work, the talk of your deeds. Your way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? You are the God who does wonders. You have declared your strength among the peoples. You have, with your arm, redeemed your peoples, the sons of Joseph and Jacob. I will remember. Let's remember. Let's remember before we were even born, God has a plan. Before Jesus even came to earth, the plan was set in place. Let's quickly go over some things in Isaiah. You want to see some miracles? Let's read a few. Because keep in mind, Isaiah wasn't written after Christ was born. Isaiah was written hundreds of years before he was born. And God just kind of put it in order. Verse 14 of chapter 7. We're going to take about three or four of these. Chapter 7. Now therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. What's the sign? Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? God with us. Has that ever changed? Even though Jesus left, is God still with us?
Yeah.
Amen. So you... How many have ever faced anything alone? How many have ever faced it alone since you've been a Christian? We haven't, have we? You ever think you're alone? Yeah. Do you know why? Because we forgot to call on the one that's with us. Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 6. For unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there'll be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Do you ever need a counselor? Do you know you have one free of charge? Do you ever need somebody mighty and powerful? Almighty God? You have him. You ever feel lost without a father? You have one. You ever need peace? That's him. Look at me. He's everything you need in every situation, and he's at your beckoning. When you're going through a time and God and Satan's trying to steal your hope, just start saying Jesus. But we miss it because of circumstances, of situations, because of rejection, because of loneliness, because of whatever. Fill in the blank. And that absolutely does not mean that God has ever abandoned you. It means at times we forget to call on the one to help us. And then with therefore we walk through the valley of darkness and depression and loneliness and fear. And God is saying, you don't have to do that. Come on, amen?
Amen.
It's true. Of the increase of his government and peace, there'll be no end. Listen. Our elected officials aren't running much. Well, that's noticeable. But God's in control. His government's not going to end. You may not see it the way we want to see it, but it's still in operation. Upon the throne of David and his kingdom to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. Chapter 11. All about Jesus. And they're going to, some people say, well, it's not about him. He's referring to something else. Well, they can believe what they want. That's fine. Verse 11, verse 1, chapter 11, verse 1. Then there shall come a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. All God. All God. How about verse 10? Did you know it even has eschatology in here? You say, what are you talking about? What does eschatology mean? Study of the ends. End times is mentioned in the prophecy about Jesus. It shall come to pass in that day, in verse 11, that the Lord shall set up his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people who are left. In verse 10 it says, and in that day there shall be a root of Jesse who shall stand as a banner to the people. For the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. It's covered. It's covered for us. All that we go through and all that we face and everything that's going on is covered. And because of him, no matter what the situation, no matter how many empty chairs, no matter how much things are going on in family or relationships or what, there's hope. There's hope. Look at me. Hope never ceases. And you say, why? Because God doesn't. Hope is never gone. Because God isn't. We never come to a place where we say, this is the end, because God has no end. He said amen to that. So we walk it out. We walk it out. Therefore, it's not a joyous time because of Christmas. It's a joyous time because of God. It's a joyous time because that Christmas time is a time when we celebrate the birth of Christ. Amen. It's a joyous time whether I get something or not. It's a joyous time whether I have my favorite pie or cake or dessert or turkey or ham or whatever it might be. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And it really doesn't matter, although it's much nicer to be with family, if you're alone and I'm alone, it doesn't matter. Because you're not alone, because Christ is there. And how does this faith come? Paul says in Romans 15, through believing or through faith or through trusting God. We walk it out. Can I tell you that something that might make you thinking I'm crazy? Maybe you already know. Christmas is no different day with God than any other day. You say, oh, Pastor. No, it's not. He's still ministering. He's still working. He's still doing the things he always does. He's still encouraging. He's still loving. His grace is just abundant. He's there. Just like he is every day. He doesn't get up in the morning and put his Santa Claus hat on. Forgive me. And you say, yeah, I know, because he doesn't get up. You say, well, Pastor, what are you trying to say? What I am saying and not only trying to? Is that you and I have a most amazing and wonderful life in Christ. Why not enjoy it? Why not enjoy it? God knows exactly what's going on. And you know what he's telling you to do? Quit panicking and come and sit in his lap and rest. Let his peace. You say, well, I don't have peace. He's got more than you need. Well, I don't have joy. He's got abundance of it. Well, I don't have this and I don't have that. Well, ask God what he's limited in. It'll work. Take time to remember. Take time to be thankful. Take time to rejoice. Your little kids get excited at Christmas time? And you're sitting back there going, sure wish this day was over. Try getting excited with them. There's nothing wrong with celebrating Christmas. Enjoy it. Wherever you might be. Because I know positively, definitely, that I will not be in snow on Christmas Day. And I know positively and definitely when I come out of the house on Christmas Eve, there's not going to be my little snowflake. Texas looks better all the time. Let's do this. I know God spoke to me and said, I'm going to rock this area through praise. And I know that's the one thing Satan wants to keep you from. And if you look at the circumstances only, you're going to see that he can. So what are we going to do about it? How many are already feeling that emptiness? Feeling that I'm not really into this holiday season. I've got all kinds of issues going on, and I just would rather wake up and have it January 2nd. We need to take a stand.